Thank you. So our new series is about Moses. And we start with Moses, the man of God. And I had thought of calling the series Moses for Grown-Ups, because we're not going to look at all the Sunday school stories of Moses. We're going to look at some other ones, like this reading that we've just had. If you know who this is, the chances are you wouldn't call him what his mum and dad call him. I think you would call him Eddie. And you would possibly call him Eddie the Eagle. His mother called him Michael. But because his surname was Edwards, at school he used to be called Eddie. So Eddie's not actually his original name. It's the name that was given to him later, Eddie. And he's always called Eddie the Eagle because he went into the Olympics and he did ski jumping for Britain. And this was an amazing thing that got into all the news because he was the best ski jumper Britain had. The fact that he came last in the Olympics, he was the best that we had. And he was very brave to go and do it. They changed the rules afterwards so he couldn't do it again, but he did it. And he's known as Eddie the Eagle. Now, if you know the man in this painting, the chances are you wouldn't call him by the name his mother and father gave him either, because this is a picture, you probably don't know who it is from his face, because his face is made up by the artist, who is Rembrandt. He was a very good artist, but he had no idea what Moses looked like. So the clue is in the fact that he's holding two tablets of stone. And if you've ever been to Sunday school, you probably know that the name Moses was not given to him by his mother and father, but by an Egyptian princess who found him floating in a basket in the Nile and took him out of the water and said, I'm going to call him Moses, and who adopted him. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. When the child grew older, the mother took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. And here's the first bit that you don't get in Sunday school. You get in Sunday school that he was called Moses because he was drawn out of the water. But I'd like to tell you that I found in a commentary a comment that said this. Moses is an authentic Egyptian name, meaning the one who is born, or in other words, figuratively, son. Perhaps the Hebrew verb Moshe, which means he who draws out, is meant to align the naming with Moses' future destiny of rescuing his people from the water of the Red Sea. You didn't learn that in Sunday school, did you? This is Moses, somebody who, like Eddie the Eagle, we know by a name that other people gave him, not his mum and dad. We call him Moses. And like Eddie the Eagle, in the Bible, he's known as Moses, the man of God. There are seven references in the Bible that refer to Moses, and the thing that they summarize about Moses might surprise you. It's not Moses, the one who was found in a basket in the Nile. It's not Moses who got us out of Egypt. It's not Moses who went through the Red Sea. It's not Moses who went through the wilderness. It's not Moses who led us to the Promised Land. It is Moses, the man of God. That's what the people at the time and a bit later referred to Moses. That was the most striking thing that they would refer to him as. Just as we refer to Eddie the Eagle, who's done some far less famous things than ski jumping, we don't know him about that. Moses, the thing that struck people about Moses was that he was a man of God. Moses, the man of God. So that's why I wanted to start this series by thinking about Moses and why was he called the man of God. And that's why we've had this reading, because this reading talks about the tent of meeting. I believe he was called Moses, the man of God, because he was a man who wanted to meet with God. What you possibly don't realize from the reading that we had, because we started in chapter 33, is that in chapter 32, if you turn back the page, you'll see it's about the golden calf. So in the time of the golden calf, the people of Israel had done something against God, and they had caused God a lot of anger against the people for having worshipped a golden calf. And it seemed like God wasn't going to be with his people. He was going to reject those people because they had rejected him and gone after a golden calf. But Moses wanted to be with God. Moses wanted to meet with God. And so we read in chapter 33, after the golden calf, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, and he called it the tent of meeting. And anybody who wanted to inquire of the Lord, anybody who wanted to know what God's will was, how God was going to guide them, if they wanted God's help, anybody who wanted that would go to Moses and say, Moses, can you pray for us? You speak to God. You are a man of God. We want to come to you. And can you take this prayer for us? Can you pray this for us? And to me, it just reminds me of how I think of Desiree, of Des Wilson Dummett. To me, she is a person who's so close to God, such a wonderful prayer life, and such a deep knowledge of the Bible. And I know lots of people go to her and say, Des, would you pray for me? And I think Moses was a man of God, and people thought, Moses, will you pray for me? Will you go to that tent of meeting, and will you take this petition of mine, this thing, this prayer that I want to make, and will you pray it for me? And they called him Moses, the man of God. And whenever Moses went out to his tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, and they watched Moses until he entered the tent. And as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. So the people knew that God was there, because that's when they were going through the desert. The pillar of cloud came by day, the pillar of fire by night. The pillar of cloud came down and would stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. And whenever the people saw that cloud, they stood and worshipped each at the entrance to their own tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp and Joshua would stay in that tent of meeting. Moses was the man of God, the man they saw God's presence close to him. They gave their petitions to Moses. Moses would pray for them. Moses would speak to God as a man speaks to a friend, it says in the Bible. They called him Moses, the man of God. And then in verse 13, we read, well, let's read ahead. So we stopped about Moses coming out of the tent. Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And then in verse 12 of chapter 33, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you'll send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Moses was called the man of God because he wanted to know God. He said, teach me your ways. I want to know you. I want to continue to find your favor. That was his heart's desire. That's who this Moses was. He was a person who wanted, who had this great desire, even if nobody else in Israel was interested. He was interested in getting to know God. He wanted to go to the tent of meeting. He wanted to know God. He asked God, teach me your ways. He asked God, I want to know you. Help me to find favor with you. And that's a big challenge to me. Am I the sort of person who really desires God that much, wants to know God? Will I ever be called a man of God like Moses was? And then we read in verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. I don't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. That's what Moses was like. He was called the man of God because his desire was to be with God. He wanted to have God's presence with him. He didn't want to go anywhere that God didn't go. He didn't want to stay if God was moving. He wanted to be with God. We would now call the presence of God the Holy Spirit. That's how we have God with us, the Holy Spirit. One of the commentaries I read said in all of this, the Hebrew word for presence is the same as the Hebrew word for face. So sometimes the Hebrews use the word face when we would say what you're talking about is somebody's presence, and sometimes they would use the same word when we would say what you're talking about is someone's face. For them, it was the same word. If I've got your face, I have your presence. And that comes out and helps us to understand quite a lot of Scripture. So it's like Moses was saying, I want to be near your face. And we see that in the Psalms, don't we? David says, I want to be your face to shine on me. I want to be close to your face. I want to have your face with me. If your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here. He was called Moses, the man of God, because his desire was to be in the presence of God, to see the face of God. And then he says, I want to see your glory. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Moses was called the man of God because he wanted to see God's glory. That was part of his desire. I want to see your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, Yahweh, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Moses wanted to see the face of God. He wanted to see his glory. He wanted to get as close as it is humanly possible to get to God. He was a man of God. He wanted to see God's glory. And the whole passage is showing us that Moses, in one sense, it says he spoke to God face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. But that was kind of from the view of the people standing at the doorways of their tents and watching this pillar of cloud. And for as far as they could see, that was God speaking to Moses face to face. But Moses, from Moses' point of view, Moses had this experience of God. God is so glorious and so pure and so holy. And he said, you can't see my face and live, but you can see some of my glory. I will show you that. I will show you my compassion. I will show you my mercy. And the commentators point out that in this part of the passage, we see that it's not anymore a dialogue. It's not anymore Moses says this, God says that. Moses asks this, God answers this. It's actually just God. Moses says, show me your glory, verse 19, and the Lord said, verse 20, but he said, verse 21, then the Lord said. It's God, God being God, God taking charge, God overruling any sort of conversation. And yet, that's what Moses wanted. He wanted to be as close it is humanly possible to be to God. Moses was a man of God. And because he saw God, his face was radiant. We're going to skip over a bit of chapter 34, which has a long passage about the Moses going up to get a second copy of the Ten Commandments, because the first copy had been broken when they had the golden calf. So we skip over to page 94, the radiant face of Moses, chapter 34, verse 29. Exodus 34, 29, which is on page 94. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant of the law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he'd been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. So there's another reason why Moses was known as the man of God. His face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And Michelangelo has created a very expressive statue of Moses. Only Michelangelo used the Latin version of the Bible, the Vulgate version of the Bible, where the Hebrew word for shone is very similar to the Hebrew word for had horns. And sometimes you translate that word shone, and sometimes you translate that as had horns. And in the Latin version of the Bible that Michelangelo would have known, it said had horns. And so you can see on this very, very famous statue of Moses that Moses had horns. And that's to remind you that his face shone. He had stuff coming out of his face. Now, we would say it was light coming out of his face, but that translation said he had horns coming out of his face, which is a bit strange, but that's how they understood it at the time. Moses was known as the man of God because his face shone from speaking with the Lord, from speaking with Yahweh, from speaking with Jehovah. And if we think about Moses' face shining, and we think about the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus shining, it reminds us that Moses was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transformed and transfigured in front of the eyes of the disciples into somebody who was just shining in a way that you couldn't possibly humanly make somebody's clothes that white. And he was shining. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For God, the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' for God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And we might think it's fantastic that Moses' face shone. And Paul says, we saw the glory of God in the face of Christ. The face of Christ revealed the glory of God, as well as the face of Moses revealing and reflecting the glory of God and the presence of God. And I think that also helps us to understand the Gospel of John, where he begins in the Gospel of John saying, "The Word made his dwelling among us." And that word dwelling is, in the very old versions of the Bible, sometimes translated tabernacled. The word literally means he made his tent among us. And that reminds us of the tent of meeting of Moses. The Word made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The law was given through Moses. Grace and peace came through Jesus Christ. A reminder from the life of Moses, a prefiguring of the life of Jesus. And John's Gospel, when he describes Jesus, he describes him in kind of Moses-like terms. And kind of, it's almost like, you know, you thought Moses was great. Just wait till I tell you about Jesus, about the Word of God. We are blessed to have even closer access to God than Moses, the man of God. I'd just like to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul talks quite a lot about Moses and his face shining and how we have something even better. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll give you the page number in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is on page 1160. 1160, if you're following it in the church Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and just picking up at verse 13. Verse 13, which is the verse on the screen. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And Moses, the man of God, was respected and honoured because his face shone. But his face shone when he came down the mountain from meeting with God, and then the shining faded away. And he put a veil over his face because people were afraid to look at his face because he just looked so holy. They thought they might burn up just from looking at him. They wanted him to wear a veil. And Paul says, but we don't have a glory that fades away. We have a glory that keeps on growing and becomes more and more glorious as we go on. What a fantastic privilege that is. We don't need to have a veil in front of our face because we're scared of God's glory. We can come into his presence and we can take off the veil. We, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Moses, the man of God, gave the people a blessing. He gave the priests a blessing to say, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.